The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're live inside of the Ticketmaster Studios. Coach Raheem Morris is here with us, guys, as he joins us each and every week. Normally on Wednesdays, but we pushed it, obviously, today because we play on Monday Night Football.
Today is Wednesday in my book.
Well, I know. It's a work day, right? It's Thursday up here at Flowery. Coach, I said this when I came up here, and I just want to talk about the mood. I think it's important to shape this for our audience and for Falcon fans. Got out the car, was walking up. You guys had the holiday music on. Guys are jovial. There is no hanging our heads up here, and I want to say that because everybody right now, and you know, four losses, man, what's going on? What are we doing? And I only say that to say we are, like, moving up here. Like, the vibe is not what people think it is.
You got to have the don't blink mentality, right? It's like things are going to happen. You know, tough times are going to come, and tough times are going to be there, but only tough people last, right? So, like, you need these scars, these lessons, and then you got to find a way to get out of them, right? And, like, that requires a certain amount of mental toughness that you expect your players to have, you expect your coaches to have, and you expect your organization to have. And at some point, you get that sort of hardened by these things, and you find ways to win, and you find ways to go out there and get it done. And, like, it's not going to get done by pouting. It's not going to get done by turning each other. It's not going to get done by pointing the fingers. You know, our job is to identify problems and then to go fix them. And, like, we got to go fix some things right now. It's clear. And I think that's the message. And I think the guys take that to heart. And I really know the way they work, the energy that they provide, and how they come to the classroom and onto the field every single day is what you need. It's the same guys that got you to the record that you wanted. And when things go the other way, those things can't turn. You find out what you need to change. You find out what you need to do. And you go out there and execute those things.
I know, as we said last time, I know you've had a chance to answer some of these questions. Our first chance for our audience to hear it. Because Cousins, you said, hey, he got us at 6-3. But you could also argue Cousins has got us to where we're at 6-7.
Yes.
And we asked you last week, how do you help him? How does Zach help him? Is there ever a point, and I know you don't deal in hypotheticals, but fans, and I've been saying it, don't you give Penix a shot? Because it's almost like an injury. Whatever's wrong with Cousins, if it's between the ears or it's confidence, it's like an injury to a knee or an arm. Let somebody else get in there and take a stab at it.
You don't want to be that organization, right? We've seen that before, right? We've got numerous amount of examples when quarterbacks have gotten thrown out there and been an up and down roller coaster organization, right? You want to remain steadfast and find ways to win, right? You started off with a plan. We have a plan. I love the plan. The plan is where we're at, right? Penix is our future, and he is a good looking future. He is bright, because I can understand the excitement behind everybody and wanting to do those things. But, like, Kurt, we said, is out right now, and he's out right now to figure us out how to get through the season and win football games to get us in the playoffs. And you can't forget the fact that you're still right here in the hunt. Where you're at and what you're doing. Is he in a slump? Have we had bad games? No doubt. But that's the part of the National Football League, right? If you just go up and down and change quarterbacks every 3 weeks, every 4 weeks, you could be some of the organization you don't want to be. And that's not what we're necessarily interested in being. You know, I believe, you know, Joe Burrow lost a couple games out here, but went out and balled out, right, and went bananas. And, like, I think we got to go out there and we got to find a way to rally around Kurt. We got to get around Kurt. We got to find ways to get it better. And I got a lot of confidence that he's going to get it better. And I got a lot of confidence in the guys that's around him that's going to play a lot better and do some different things as well.
Is there ever a position? I mean, again, I know we're talking about the Raiders, and hopefully things go right on Monday. But is there a line in your mind that if I throws a couple of picks, I've got to put Penix in there. I got to give us a spark.
You know, the line in my mind is to stop from throwing the interceptions. You know, let's eliminate the turnovers, right? I mean, we're talking about a guy who went on 3 for 344 yards last week. He had 2 turnovers that he threw. He threw one interception that he once back. The other one he left out there a little bit too much later in the game that he was throwing to Cal. And the other turnovers was us on special teams, and really us on 2 on special teams, because that other one that comes to turnover was from the turnover. It's from the field goal block, right? And you give the ball back.
Total of 3, right?
So a total of 4 in my mind. Okay. When you give him that ball back right there after kicking the field goal and you get the short field and a chance to score, that's a total of 4 turnovers, really, when you think about it. So it's like, he cut it down from the week before. Are they acceptable? No, none of them are acceptable. But at the end of the day, is the Falcons are – we are undefeated when we win a turnover battle. And it's up to us to go get some, and it's up to stop giving them back to them.
To be quite frank, what the hey happened to our secondary last week, Coach?
We lost our mind. No, we had a – I can walk you through them kind of like I walked everybody through. I forget the exact order right now, but I talked to them how they hit me. The one play, we get great pass rush. We get a ball floated up in the air, underthrown ball, and the receiver just – flat out made a better adjustment than our defensive backs. He caught it and he ran in the end zone. And you say, okay, there's the anomaly. Later on, we're coming through, we got an unblocked player on a sack, and Sam Darnold made a miss, stepped up in the pocket. The plaster rules broke down in the back end because you see people running open. Whenever that stuff happens, it goes on too long, you leave coverage. And Sam Darnold did a great job of looking down the field and finding a streaking wide open Jefferson, because we vacated the middle of the field. And those things can't happen and are not supposed to happen. And then we got beat on 2 one-on-one balls on the outside with Mike and Clark. And those 2 balls were huge balls. One was a pass interference, one was a catch to get them deep in their territory. And really was the story of the day, right? The explosive plays along with the turnovers and the penalties, which been uncharacteristic off the back, right? We've been one of the least penalized teams in the National Football League. And for us to get 12 on one day was asinine. We've been the guys that the one thing we've done really well on defense is limit explosions, and that day they got really explosive, and we couldn't keep up. And then the add-on was the turnovers, and you can't win football games like that. And to think it was 21-21 in the fourth quarter, going into the fourth quarter with those guys scoring, and then disaster strike with the turnover, give them a quick score. Next thing you know, you're in 4-minute offense, 4-minute defense, and they won the football game. But we got to find ways to win those games. And it's hard to say. Like, this is why I say stats are for losers, right? When you outstat your opponent
and
lose football games.
And we have.
We've done it multiple times.
Yeah, 9 sacks the last 2 games.
We've done it multiple times this year. And, like, those are things you got to stop and you got to eliminate.
We're live inside the Ticketmaster Studios at Flowery Branch with Coach Raheem Morris. I've never seen holding on a field goal from the defense. That was, I know I don't get you in trouble with the refs. That's a new one for me, but that was, I believe it there. The other thing is, was it a byproduct of being aggressive? We saw it work against the Chargers, but the Vikings just have so many more weapons. So if you are going to be more aggressive, would your approach that there's more likely to get burned? Would you get more skill position guys out there?
No, we got beat on the 2, and you can live with the 2 that I told you that you got beat on. The ones you can't live with is the ones where the explosive on the plaster play, and the one ball I felt like you could have picked off that we didn't track.
When you say plaster, Coach, what are you saying? Because our listener, what's that mean?
No problem. It's just when you have deep defense going.
Okay.
And the coverage breaks down, and after the quarterback becomes a scrambler. So whether he leaves the pocket or steps up and out of the pocket, the reason the pass rush is so critical, we missed a wide open sack on an unblocked player. He steps up and out. The receivers start to scramble with their quarterback.
Guys are running with their receivers.
Yes, when you're in zone, it immediately has to turn into man. And those are called plaster rules. And what do you plaster? You know, our middle field safety jumped across her. Jefferson was deep, back by himself, left alone. He found them, got it to him, and it looked awful. You know, and that was the domino effect right there, right? And
it was.
It went downhill, right? The worst case scenario right there is he should have stepped out of that thing, completed a check down, or scrambled, and you live to fight another day. But to have a 67-yard explosive, that can't happen.
I want to follow up with Mike, because it continues to be a topic of conversation, and you know this, and I know you're tired of answering it.
No, not really.
Okay, great, because we're going to continue to ask you.
Yeah.
Nationally, I do a lot of stuff, and people keep asking me, why is Raheem not hearing everybody else? Meaning, everybody, and I don't know if you're aware, around the country is saying, what is Atlanta doing? Why isn't Coach doing this? Why is he not making – you've got a guy. Like, that is what's happening, that noise you talk about out there, and it's rapid. I mean, like, everybody's talking about it. And I said, look, I'll ask him this question, because sometimes coaches say, oh, I don't hear that stuff. Do you hear it?
You always hear it. I mean, I'm not that guy. Right? But it's the same noise that was wondering why you drafted him in the first place. Right? And when you go draft this guy, you have a plan for him. Right? And we've seen, like I said, we've seen quarterbacks go in too early. We've seen quarterbacks get ruined. We've seen, and I'm not to say that's going to happen to Mike. But we do have a guy. Like, we have a guy. We have a guy that's played in the National Football League for years and been successful. And not to mention, is the third leading passer in the National Football League in the season. We're not talking about over the course of this break. In the season, this guy's led the league in passing, and he's right. Number three. And he's got to come out of slop and not turn the football over and win football games for us. You know, Michael Tom will come. You know, he's our future. He's the guy we love. He's the guy we drafted for all the great reasons. He's done nothing but the right stuff since he's been here. He's been an absolute professional and a pro, and he hears the same stuff. And he does nothing but support Kurt. He supports his teammates. He comes to work. He goes to work every single day, and I think that's our job.
It's just like, you know, we were saying earlier, if you approach it, and you're not approaching it, like if it's an injury, like if something happens to a lineman, Storm Norton's the next guy up. Mm-hmm. If Cousins can't seem to generate offense and you go 4 weeks without a passing touchdown, it just seems like that's why would you ever get to us, hey, you get with Zach Robinson, let's put a package in, you know. Put a package in for Penix, you know, or is that just disruptive?
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cousins vibe, and that's that. You don't want to open that Pandora's box.
Yeah. Mike's not like the Justin Fields package kind of
guy.
He's
a drop back passer.
Mike's a drop back passer, so that would be a different deal. You know, like if we had somebody that was the zone read runner or something like that. That's a completely different ordeal. You know, that would be not what we drafted. That would be not what our guy is. Our guy is a franchise quarterback that's going to step into the position at some point and lead us to where he needs to lead us.
It is Coach Raheem Morris with us, guys, inside the Ticketmaster Studios.
Coach, let's shift gears and talk about these Raiders. And look, I'm adamant because last week I joked with you like, it's a big game. You said, aren't they all big? And I said, no, this is a big one. Okay, so this is a big one, Coach.
This is now the biggest game of the year.
It's playoff ball.
It is. Like right now, it's like, and we know it's not win or go home, but it feels like that.
But it is a playoff type mentality. It's a playoff type atmosphere.
Okay.
And like legitimately, like you know that you don't lose and you go home. But the thing about it is you got to have that type of urgency. And realistically, the reason people say they're all big games because you take that type of urgency to all of them. But as you get closer and closer to down the stretch, obviously the numbers matter and the wins matter and the losses matter. And it's a matter of getting in the playoffs or not. And, like, it's a big game. Embrace that.
Right. It is. And real quick, I know, you know, I heard you say this today, but I want our audience to hear it because I kind of laughed. Do you watch the scoreboard at these games? Because last week, right, we're in Minnesota. We go to these games. We're at the games. Scores pop up. Fans react. Oh, my fantasy team. They're tripping about these guys. Do you see that stuff, and are you watching what the Bucs or anybody else is doing as we're competing against these guys?
Like I said earlier, of course you see it. You can't help but see it in these stadiums. These stadiums are so big and beautiful and got graphics everywhere, and most of the time you're looking up to see situational ball and your team stats and things popping up, all kinds of stuff pop up, but it's not what you're looking for. You know, like I said earlier, you don't like to wish anything on anybody else. You like to go handle your business yourself.
I know you got to get back to work real quick. We've hit on 75% of our fourth down attempts. I talked about being in Tampa, and the Bucs says, oh, they're going to try to draw us. I know my coach goes for it. I didn't understand why when they give you that 5-yard penalty, it was tie game, 7-7. We're on the 47, and we take a delay of game and punt, and we only net 33 yards. I thought that 4th and 2, you're going to go for it because you know that it's going to be rock and sock with Minnesota. You got to.
Which one are you on? Are you on the one that when we took the penalty and moved back?
Yeah, you took the
So we went for it earlier, and we didn't get it on a 4th and 5, right? Not that one. You talked about the one.
It put him in a 4th and 2. You took the delay, becomes a 4th and 7. Pinion, punts, touchback, net 33 yards.
Yes. You know, you didn't want to get a touchback. You know, try to put him back deep, try to get the offense, get the ball back there again quickly and get a thing flip. You know, like you got to play with the aggressive mindset, and we are going to continue to do that. That's kind of how we've been throughout the year, and it's got to be a field thing. But that was a plan to get those guys pinned back and knocked back and get the chance of the defense to go out there and get a stop and maybe get the ball back. And, you know, I know it's hard to forget. I know it's hard to remember, but we were playing really good defense up until that point.
Well, that's the thing. You got a three and out.
That's how the explosive happened.
You got a pick, and then you got a three and out. That's why I figured you got momentum. That's why I thought you were going to go for it.
Well, I had the momentum when it was – remember, it was 7-0, and we got the ball back right there, the three and out. That's what we went for there, just to jump all over them.
So that's just your gut.
And we didn't get it. It's not just my gut. It's analytics. It's gut. It's four down territory. There's a bunch of things that go into play with that. And you got to make the decision based on that.
By the way, let's keep taking the ball. I mean, listen, week one we took, or 2 weeks ago we took it. Don't get the field goal. Last week we take it, we punch it in. I mean, I know you talked to us about this a few weeks ago, and you're like, I'm considering it. And then I'll be damned. The last 2 weeks, you're like, we're going. So I'm with you. Let's go get this momentum. Coach, I do want to ask you before you leave, Coach Raheem Morris, you and Nicole named the 2025 Atlanta American Heart Association co-chairs.
Nice. Yes.
Talk to us about this, Coach, and why you got involved and why you guys are involved with this.
I talk about this so much. I don't know if I talked to you guys or not.
No.
Or whatever. But, you know, a couple years ago when I was a Ram coach and I was the defense coordinator there, we had a bye week and went to a vacation, obviously, oddly enough, in Vegas.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So went to Vegas, and we're staying at the Wynn, and you know, plan is to go see the Blue Man Group. We're going to go see Cirque du Soleil. We're going to go see all the cool Vegas things, right? And so I have all my kids out there. My oldest daughter flies in separately from us, so I go pick up from the airport. I get a chance to pick up from the airport. I go back to the hotel. I ask her if she wants to go out and start our day, or does she want to go hang out with her brother and sister at the pool? And she said, let's go hang out and get her tan on, Daddy.
For sure.
Right, right.
So I take it down to the pool. I'm sitting there, and I sit down in my chair, and I hear a scream. And I walk to the pool, and there's a four-year-old child on the ground. He's blue. He's unconscious. He has no air. At the time, I didn't know, but it was his father who dropped him right in front of the lifeguard. Just 3 weeks prior, fortunately, because of the head trainer of the Los Angeles Ram, Reggie Scott, had kind of encouraged us to take a CPR class, an AED course. And I knew what to do. And I immediately looked at the lifeguard and asked her what the AED machine was. She said the front desk. I sprinted to the pool. You know what a Vegas pool looks like?
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's a long run.
Ran to the front desk, got the AED machine. Probably should have got a charge for yelling at the lady so hard at the desk.
Right.
Grabbed the AED machine out of her hand, sprinted back to the pool. And when I got back, there was a doctor on site. There was the lifeguard on site. Opened up the AED machine, was able to put the paddles on them. The doctor was talking. The only thing I could hear, and amongst the ruckus of the screaming and the oohs and ahs at a Vegas pool, was the doctor talking about breaths and the finger swipe and just he was talking all the doctor stuff. And it was something with the breathing, the aspiration. Right. I could hear him talking. He was talking to me calmly. And it felt like hours, but it probably was minutes. The doctors roll in, the paramedics come, we move the chairs. When we picked them up to put them on the gurney, he coughed, he started to cry, and it was a sigh of absolute unbelievable belief. And I thought that day, the only reason I knew to go run and get an AED machine was because of that training I did just a couple weeks ago. And I thought that was pretty special, and I thought that was something that we need to push. And I think the whole thought of it for my wife and I was to be able to push AED machines like fire extinguishers. And to have these things available and ready for anybody to use them at all times. And that then allowed our relationship to grow. That was my cause, my cleats this year. That would be auctioned off. That has been a part of meeting DeMar Hamlin and being able to be a part of his events because shortly before he had a deal. And also with Shaq Barrett and losing his daughter and the drowning. And being a part of that has really been special and near and dear. Young Wyatt. Still keep in contact with those guys, and I'm able to see them. They brought them to the Rams camp and do a bunch of things with those guys, and it was huge, and it was life changing for my children and me. Like my children were there watching, and my children were there hanging with Wyatt's brother and sister while we had to entertain the family. While the mother and mom and dad had to take young Wyatt to the hospital, we watched their kids, and so
you didn't know these folks
from
nothing,
not at all, and. And, you know, I'm walking around Vegas with four or five babies.
Wow.
And, you know, only two are mine, three are mine. Right? But it was pretty.
That's
pretty
the adrenaline of that moment.
The adrenaline was unbelievable. I immediately went upstairs and called Reggie. And I still was, like, kind of sitting in my room just putting it all together.
Right.
Worst feeling in any game situation I've ever been in my life. But when it was going on, it was game day.
Yeah.
It was like calm, cool.
Right.
What did I learn? What did I remember? Go get an AED machine, check the place for safety, and then go to work.
Human life at stake and a child at that. There are no words. And first of all, there's not enough thank yous in the world from anybody, because I think I even said to you at the time, if that was anybody's child, they would want somebody to come and say, I know what to do. So Coach Raheem Nicole, should I say, his wife, are the 2025 Atlanta American Heart Association Heartball Co-Chairs, and that is the reason why. So we wanted to share that story. Coach, before we let you go, Raiders, Monday night, what do we have to do? What do we got to do?
Win. Don't turn the ball over. Go out there and execute the things that we've been doing really well. We started rushing the passer well. We throw the pass. We've thrown it well all year. We played offense well all year. We run the ball out well all year. We got to go out there and play defense, go out there and play special teams the way we know how to do it, not turn the football over and win football games. You know, the formula for us is pretty simple. Win a turnover battle and you win. And that's what we've done when we've won, and we got to do that this week.
If he hits Pitts on that touchdown pass, that changes the whole complexion of the game. You happy with Pitts' effort?
You know, Pitt's effort on that play, it wasn't that, you know. It was kind of thrown aside.
But that was on Kirk. Kirk missed him.
And, you know, you like to have that stuff happen. You know, it's just you want to hit those plays. That's just it.
All right, boss.
Thank
Good
you,
luck
Coach.
In Vegas, man.
Let's go get a dub.
Let's go.
All right. That is Coach Raheem Morris. Great stuff there from him.
Well, we'll ask A.J. Terrell. I know he's on the defensive side. We'll throw it at him.
A.J. joins us here inside of the Ticketmaster Studios.
Sir.
What's going on, brother? How are you, man?
I'm good.
Thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it. We had Coach Ron here, and I was saying it to him, and I want to get your opinion on this, you know, about the morale right now. And look, you've been in this league now. You know what the deal is. You've been on some teams that, you know, we've had losing streaks.
Nope.
But when it's good as it was, A.J., and it's, like, rolling, and we feel like, okay, we're moving in this direction, and then it goes the opposite way. How do you feel? How are the guys feeling? And like, practice, what's the vibe?
Yeah, it's just adversity. You know, just the way the league goes, you just got to take it one week at a time and try to bounce back. And that's where we on right now. We still, you know, got an opportunity for the playoff push and just trying to go 1-0 each week.
Now, you had a pretty good day. I know it was tough for the second. There was times in the secondary. It was just rough because I know – was part of the package kind of what we saw against the Chargers, being aggressive? You knew there was going to be more blitzing, so you guys had to be on an island?
Yeah, we was just, you know, just blowing up coverages and not getting them corrected quick enough to go out there and, you know, give our offense more opportunities to go out there and put up points.
Right.
And, you know, we just got to dial in on things like that, and that's where we take advantage of that in the meeting rooms and practice and just trying to make sure that don't show up on film again.
AJ, was that, in your opinion, the worst week for our secondary last week? Was it our worst week of the season?
I mean, you could argue it is, for sure. You know, just giving up a lot of explosive things that, you know, we haven't seen all season. But just getting back, like I said, in meeting rooms, just correcting those things, getting it off tape as quick as possible.
Hey, man, going out to Vegas. Now, we talked to Coach. You don't get to gamble. Man, I guess it's truly a business trip. What a buzzkill, man.
Yeah.
But what do you see on tape of the Raiders, man? Because we know that, you know, you got a guy, McConkey, who's here at UGA. Mm-hmm. This guy just seems like the ultimate weapon right now. Tight end. I mean, McConkey was last week.
Yeah.
You get Brock Bowers this week.
Yeah. But, you know, good team. You can't never just try to look at a team record and things like that. At the end of the day, it's the National Football League. So it's a lot of players out here, a lot of teams that still – you know, fighting just for, you know, positions. And I just feel like, you know, we just trying to come in, like I said, control our destinies, just stack another W so we can get ready for this playoff push.
For all the stat nerds, AJ, I was telling them early in the week, they really didn't throw the ball to Jefferson when you were on him in that game last week. And I thought it was a sign of respect from not only, you know, obviously their head coach, but the quarterback. There were matchups, and they were trying to do different things. But talk about matchups like that, man. I mean, I know you take on those challenges every week in the league, but there are dudes, and you know there are dudes here, and then there are dudes, right?
Exactly.
That was a dude, and every time you were locked up on him, they were not trying to throw it over there.
Just Jefferson being a good – my fault.
You got it.
You know, him just being a great receiver himself, just going out there doing my job. You know, that's the main thing. I just hold myself to a high standard on how I play, doing my job, and – just trying to help the defense out, help the team, you know, get on and off the field, give our offense opportunities, and give ourselves ops to go out there and put points up as well.
You know, it's funny. We were talking about it with Kirk after the Tampa Bay game down in Tampa. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was your best game as a Falcon. I mean, that diving interception you made near the goal line, that was unbelievable. And the way the bench reacted, just everybody was so hype on that. Do you feel that was, is that one of your top games as a pro?
One of my top plays.
Right.
But, nah, I don't think. I don't think that was one of my top games.
Really? Okay.
Nah. But I did have a good play in that game, but, you know, gotta get that again. You know, I need more ops. So, you know, just keep doing right. The ball will find you.
So, what did you do once you got your bag?
Yeah.
What?
You got a new whip? I mean,
this is what
all our audience and what we talk about. You know,
because you know, we saw you in the summer, we saw you at camp, we were like, you deserve to get your bag. And, and you said to us, sitting in this room, dude, it's not up to me. I'm going to keep doing what I need to do. It worked out.
To your credit, no, never said anything about it.
No, either. You let it handle its situation, and mm-hmm. I thought you did handle that perfectly. But with that said, yeah, Mike's right. Like, for our fan base, they're like, man, you know, he's one of the top corners, paid corners in the league now, mm-hmm. which is deserving. What changes for you from a life standpoint, if anything?
You know, a lot changed. You know, just being blessed with the opportunity to, you know, that Blink and Ra and the organization blessed me with. But, you know, it definitely, turned a lot of tables and my responsibilities and things like that. But at the end of the day, I handled, you know, family business and just took care of things like that. You know, I feel like, you know, the way I operate never was, you know, always about money and things like that. But the things that I deserve, I know came from hard work and trusting the process and things like that. So everything is, you know, taken care of.
And you give back to the community, too. Yeah. And I know a lot of people may or may not know this. Yep. You know, AJ's from here. He's from
the
ATL.
He just built a club level at Westlake. I heard about that. I'm kidding. It's AJ Terrell with us here, guys.
But I do want to mention that because I think, you know, we talk about cats making all this dough, and that's great. Yeah. But it's also, you have been, way before that, you were giving back to this community.
Yeah. It's huge. You know, just, I feel like, you know, I'm getting my foundation, my AJ Terrell foundation off the ground. And, you know, I'm just using my using my platform to inspire and give to others and just bless, you know, families and, you know, other younger guys as myself, and just putting them in better position, letting them see me be an example, and me as just wanting to give advice and give back. And that's part of what my foundation is doing. We with high schools all around Georgia, in the communities with Atlanta Mission as well, and it's something that we just trying to build all the way up. So, that's what it's all about. Just giving back, you know, never getting a big head and going ghost, but wanting to be seen in the city for great things.
That's great to hear. We always say all the time, I think fans don't really appreciate what everybody does off the field. Anywhere in the league, it's always something bad headline that makes the more news than doing good.
Yep.
AJ's was, by the way, now that you do have your bag, I would imagine you get a call from Dabo. Need a little help, a little extra in the envelope. By the way, how excited are you for Clemson?
Yeah,
not a great start to the season, not a great end, but now they are in the tournament, man.
You know, it don't surprise me. You know, I know how Dabo prepare the guys, and I've been watching all the way through, you know, my little brother there. So
right.
I've been definitely tuned in week in, week out, and, you know, football working mysterious ways. You know, we needed Syracuse to beat Miami. They did it. They got us in the dance. And, you know, we not new to championship football. So I wasn't surprised that we was able to knock SMU down to get in. And now, you know, everybody 0-0.
Right. And Texas.
Yeah.
And that's a big one. Yep. I just think, you know, the experience and the clutch and mm-hmm. the quarterback play, everything's kind of cooking right now.
Yeah, get better week in, week out. You know, I feel like, you know, Cade been growing steady. Dabo been trusting him, and, you know, he been trusting the process himself, and he know that the guys, his teammates and them backing him up. And I feel like, you know, Dabo do a good job of just making sure everybody keep the main thing, block out all the outside noise and just go play football.
Is little bro receptive to criticism?
Got to. He on the island.
Does he accept coaching from you?
Yeah?
For
sure.
Okay. Because you know how it is. It's like, oh, bro, I got this.
Nah. Not little bro. He gonna listen. But, you know, that's part of the job we live in, you know. Short-term memory. You're going to get beat.
Yep.
You know, you don't want it to happen. Of course, you want to win more than you lose, but it's part of the game out there, you know, just being able to have short-term memory and just keep competing. And I feel like that's where he at, and that's what I be spilling to him week in, week out, just play his game.
Well, hey, man, best of luck out there in Vegas. I know it's been funky. Mm-hmm. Hope we end this losing streak. Because, again, you said it earlier, everybody realized the playoffs are still here. You just got to go take it.
Right. Yep, just got to do it. They start here, right here in practice. You know, we just go out there and do it.
Well, AJ, we appreciate you, man. And again, keep balling. I threw that out there. That was last week, but go look at the rest of the season.
That's why I said he had a good. And it was a terrible day. He had a good day though.
Well, and this is the thing. Like, you know, again, it's a team L.
Team
L. But when you start talking about like the secondary and guys are saying, oh, well, what's AJ doing, or what's D doing, D Oliver, or whoever it might be. Like, there were matchups last week that we won a lot, and it just didn't show on the scoreboard, and that's kind of one of those things. But, man, keep doing your thing, bro. We appreciate you stopping by, and good luck this weekend.
And Merry Christmas, too, man.
Sorry,
man.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, for sure.
Oh, God bless Carl Dukes and Mike Bell right now. They are fighting, scratching, clawing through Atlanta traffic right now to get to the airport to catch a flight to Army Navy Radio Row. Oof, Oren, I am not envious of them right now. Jersey Mike and myself are sitting comfortably in the Ticketmaster studios, taking you up until 7:30 this evening. They are the taskmasters at hand, getting to that plane, getting on board, hopefully safe travels for the boys. And then they'll be live with us 2 to 7 tomorrow. Oren, a absolutely jam-packed guest list. If I do say so myself, I did a pretty damn good job of booking. But, you know, we'll just pat myself on the back there a little bit. And it'll be a really, really fun show. So make sure you tune in tomorrow. Also, a big station announcement coming up at 10:20 tomorrow during the Steakhouse, Steaky Cha-Cha, bringing you the number one news on the radio station. So make sure you're tuned in, as you should be locked in and loaded every single day right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah, heard from Coach Morris today, heard from AJ Terrell today, and I have a question for y'all, 404-726-0929. I want to take some phone calls. Dukes and Bell just did a whole show, and now I want to hear from you, 404-726-0929. Hit me up on Twitter, at C Thomas Radio. I put up a poll, and it reads very simply, do you still believe the Falcons are a playoff team? Yes, still have faith, or no, they've blown it. Oh, before we open up the phone lines, do you still have faith, or have they blown it?
Yeah, I still have faith, but I don't know where it's coming from. It certainly isn't rooted in anything I've seen the previous 4 weeks. So I guess.
Well, it would be rooted in the 500-yard performance, the four touchdown performance, the 4-1 record in the division. That's where it'd be rooted.
But it's tough because of what I've seen these past 4 weeks. For me to say I have faith in this thing, there isn't a lot to the contrary that's going to defense the Falcons, if you will, right now. So,
me and you were joking about that word yesterday. The offense and the defense. That was funny. Here's the thing, oh, you got to believe. You just have to. We can't have another season slip away. Come on, man. All right, so line them up, 404-726-0929. Got some here to take a bunch of your calls. The question's simple. Have the last 4 weeks deterred you from believing that the Atlanta Falcons are a playoff team? I have to believe. Like, I can't allow myself to get to a place where they're going to lose on Monday night. They're going to lose against the Giants and the Commanders and the Panthers, who, by the way, don't sleep on them. They're looking pretty good. So, yeah. So, I want to. I have to. Basically, for my own sanity, right? For your own sanity. We can't let us believe that this thing is going to be a collapse and we're finishing 7-10 again or 8-9. Like, no, it can't be, right? This team that, again, got off to the 4-1 record in the division, that Kirk Cousins had the 500-yard outing, that Kirk Cousins had not one but two four-touchdown performances, that's the team that's still – it's still in there somewhere, right? Like, maybe it's the old cliche, oh, I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. Like, I just need one, man. Give me a bounce-back performance against the Raiders on Monday Night Football. They're awful. They're so bad. But the way that this team has played over the last 4 weeks, can you sit there and tell me that they should just be written off for a win in any game? No. They've been arguably, I mean, I don't want to say the worst team in football, but 0-4. The quarterback hasn't thrown a touchdown in 4 weeks with 8 interceptions. I mean, come on, man. So 404-726-0929. I see we got full phone lines already, so I'm going to take your calls now when we get back, and then Orin and I are going to predict the Thursday night football game. Orin, this is a big week for us. This could be like a moving day week because we are just about neck and neck on this thing. So 404-726-0929. A lot to do. Time to do it. Let's start with Manny. You're in the game. Manny, is this team still a playoff team in your mind, or have you lost hope?
Amen. Hallelujah, Pastor Turtle. I believe, brother. I believe.
Preach.
Yeah. Just like church, I guess, in this cruel, visceral world we live in, I still believe there's a better place and something better is awaiting.
Why? Well, why do you believe it?
Because I just want to believe. I think the division is pretty bad, so I think that gives us hope and opportunity. We still have some clout with those two wins, although Tampa's ahead of us. But between New Orleans and Carolina, they look so bad. I think if we could just eke out 1.5 wins, we're in there. I just believe that this division is just not that strong that we can at least make it to the playoffs.
All right, Manny, good stuff. Appreciate the phone call. Strong start on the phones at 404-726-0929. Blind faith. That's kind of what I was joking about when I first got on, right? Blind faith. Like, it can't end this way, right? It can't be the fourth year in a row, 7-10, 7-10, 7-10, 7-10. Not with the guy that you gave a $100 million contract to. It's real. Like, if you actually, I know we get so like ramped up and locked in and talking to you guys on the phones and on Twitter at C Thomas Radio, like, take a step back for 1 second and just look at what's happened. It's unbelievable. It really is. To go from 6-3, Kirk playing like an all-star, and then it just, the bottom, it's like a sinkhole. It just completely falls out. It really is crazy. But 4 games left, everything's still in front of you, all the cliches that Raheem and everybody else are using. All right, Frank, you're up next. Are they still a playoff team in your opinion?
No, man, they're under 500. They're 8-9. And you can ask me why, and I'll tell you why. Because the way this team was built ever since Terry Fontenot got here. The chickens have finally come home to roost. I mean, with this stupid offensive picks in the first round, you – outside of Drake London, that's the only decent pick for me. I mean, yes, Bijan
hasn't been a good pick.
He's not a need. I mean, you have had a good running back at Tyler Algier, but yeah, your defensive needs are much better, and it's already roosting its ugly head. I mean, you see it out there. It makes no difference. I mean, it makes no sense how this team is collapsing, and then. You know, you spend a first-round pick on somebody who you can't use immediately. You're sitting up here thinking about the darn future when people are trying to win now. I mean, it makes no darn sense. You could have did more with that first-round pick this year. If you're going to get Kirk Cousins, then why not pick somebody who can contribute now instead of sitting on the bench?
Nobody Frank.
This year has contributed at all. I mean, none of your defensive players are getting hurt and ain't even hardly playing. These darn picks you made. I mean, today I hear about the darn rookie running back getting hurt. I'm like, when did that fool play? It makes no sense.
Yeah, I hear you, Frank. Thanks for the phone call. Good stuff. So we have dueling opinions there. Manny came in with the optimism. He says, you know what? I saw enough this season that what's been going on? I feel like they can get back to it. Frank came in and said, nah, I'm going to lay the hammer down. Terry Fontenot deserves the blame. The draft picks deserve the blame. Bijan Robinson shouldn't be here, which, I mean, I disagree with that. But at the same time, yes, I get it. If you're not going to play Penix, right, if you're not going to play him, which we're going to get into that when we get back on the other side, then you should have drafted a defensive player. Frank is right about that. Because you know what? The ugly chicken, as he said, has come home to roost. You could play Michael Penix right now. They're choosing not to. Make it make sense. All right, I see you. Coach Nick, Big D, leave you, Mike. We'll get to you guys first when we get back. Grab a line, 404-726-0929. The question is simple. Do you still believe the Atlanta Falcons are a playoff team? You let me know next, 404-726-0929. Back with you in five. Chris Thomas with you till 7:30. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.